We're so glad that you're here. Of course, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen finishing up tonight in Meridian, Idaho. And great. Is that somebody from Idaho? There we go. Got a few Idahoans. I don't know if that's a word. I just made it up. That's all right. All right. I don't know if it's a word or not, but we're so glad. I know they're having some great meetings out there. Even saw Pastor Hagen on a few of the pastors went over and took him out on the blue turf at Boise State at the stadium there. Got their picture, but I know that as they go out, they minister greatly to men and women all over the world, and we're so thankful for that. That, you know, sometimes God calls different ones to have multiple tasks and jobs that they perform, and we, as somebody said before, we lend our pastor to the world, and we thank God for the gifts and callings that are there in them. Praise the Lord. And so just believe in God for their safe return, right? They'll have the journey mercies as they return, and the team returns after the services tonight and whatever, however they do that. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, welcome those of you that are watching online. We're so and watching on the Rhema app. So glad that you're with us. You know, generally, even for almost every service, we have folks from all over the world that watch, but and we have some that are regular all the time that are here in the States. But we welcome you. Just participate with us, as you already have probably. But thank God we're going to look at the Word of God. One of my favorite subjects to talk about, the grace of God. I want to talk about the grace of God tonight. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Lots of translations here translate the word manifold as many-sided. Many-sided. Others say varied aspects, different parts of the grace of God. You know, we make a mistake to think that grace is just in salvation. Tonight I want to talk about an aspect of God's grace, the grace in which we stand. Amen. Standing grace, the grace that causes us to not get into the, we're already in the kingdom of God. You know, most of these services, especially on, you know, on a Wednesday night, we have folks, most folks here are already part of the family of God, and thank God for that. But, and if you're not, don't leave here tonight without that. But there's grace available, not just for salvation, not just for being born again. The grace of God is available to help us to stand, to be victorious in life. It's God's power, God's life released towards us, working in us, strengthening us, enabling us to stand and have victory in life. Not just stand and put up with it. You know, Ephesians 6 says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. That doesn't mean, you know, having, once you put up, just keep putting up with it. Oh, you know, someday. No, it means being victorious. It's the type of stand that means, I'm standing, you're knocked out. That's the type of power we're talking about, the grace wherein we stand. Hallelujah. You know, it's the kind of grace that Floyd Mayweather hopes he stands in over Manny Pacquiao. Okay, that's what I'm talking, that kind of grace where, you know, I'm standing, I haven't done all to stand, you're not standing any longer. Now, who's our enemy? It's not a person, it's the devil, right? It's the circumstances. It might be a sickness and disease. I'm still standing cancer by the grace of God. I'm still standing poverty. I'm still standing debt by the grace of God. Doesn't matter what it is, having the grace to stand, the power of God released on our behalf to stand victorious. Amen. So we realize in salvation, God initiated our salvation. That's that grace. But then also, there's a continuation of God's grace in that we're living now a powerful life in the kingdom of God, causing us to have that victory. Thank God we've received grace. And just as we had to cooperate with the grace of God to be born again. Remember, it's Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. There's that aspect of cooperation with the grace of God. The grace to stand requires our cooperation also. And we need to learn to partake of that grace. Now, just in a nutshell, you know, every time you act on the Word of God, that grace is there. That power is there to help you be victorious. Every time I confess the Word of God, the grace of God, the power of God to bring to pass what God said in His Word is there. Hallelujah. So let's look at some of, first of all, Romans chapter 5. I want to go there. So it actually makes that statement about standing in grace. Can't think of anything else better to stand in, folks. I don't know what else we'd want to stand in. The grace of God. Hallelujah. See, God's grace is the divine empowerment upon our lives, enabling us to do what we could not do in and of ourselves. God's ability. God's it's supernatural ability. It's not natural, it's supernatural. Now, sometimes when we talk about grace, you know, there's grace to serve, there's grace to do different things, but sometimes it seems like, well, you know, people say, well, that just comes natural to me. If you're good at anything, it's because of God's grace. Now, you may think it's natural ability, but I'm just going to tell you right, your natural ability not going to make it. It takes the grace of God. And that is probably God's grace working in you. You know, sometimes, all of us could probably testify, there's something that just seems to come easy to you. Well, thank God for it. Because, you know, sometimes our tendency is to look at what comes easy to us and see it that it doesn't come easy for someone else, and for us to look at them and say, what's wrong with them? But don't examine too close, because they got something they can do that you can't do, and so you don't want to get... Now, what we need to do is join up with one another, then we can do both things well. Amen. I'll just let you lead now, and then later, you know. Right? Now, we had folks that had the grace to sing up here and the grace to play tonight. Now, there's some of you in the congregation, you don't have that grace. Now, we want you to sing, but we're not going to give you a microphone. And the church said, amen. I don't know if this is true or not, but, you know, it's one of those things. I'm perfectly willing to wait till we get to heaven for you to find out I was right. That's a joke, folks. No. But I just wonder if when we all get to heaven, our voice will fit perfectly. No matter how you sing, it'll just fit perfectly in the heavenly choir. Because maybe in heaven, there are no sharps and flats. It just all works together. But now here on earth, it doesn't work together. If you're sharp or you're flat, we got to take the microphone away from you. Hallelujah. Did you find Romans 5? Said all that to help you. All right. Verse 2. By whom also, talking about through Jesus Christ, we have access by faith. Now notice here again. Notice the cooperation here with grace. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And he's talking about grace that brought salvation. But notice the idea of standing in that grace. Standing in that grace. So I want to look at a few scriptures that will help us to see some things. Here in Acts chapter 4, let's look at this. We're going to see some scriptures that talk about folks that were already saved by grace through faith that are accessing grace now after that. Okay, does that make sense to you? Accessing that grace after their salvation. See, our life is not just to get saved and then just sit here. Amen. Amen. Our life is to now operate in the grace of God to get others saved. Amen. That's the whole purpose right there. I mean, if we're not getting people born again, what are we doing? Why are we still here? Heaven's our home. So our divine purpose, see, in all that we do. You know, why do we come? Why do we come and get equipped? Yes, so we can live victorious, but why do we live victorious? Because victorious living gives me a greater ability to help someone else. Amen. You see, it's not about how blessed I can be. It's how much blessing do I need to be a blessing? Yes. The more blessed I am, the more I can bless. Okay? God told Abraham, I will make you a blessing. I'll bless you, but then I'm going to make you a blessing. All right, here in Acts chapter 4, is that what I said? Yeah. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, they're already saved, so that's not saving grace that's upon them in that aspect. It is grace to do what? Well, evidently, to give witness of the resurrection of the Lord in great power. See, that grace was upon them all to do that. Acts chapter 11. Now, Barnabas had gone here to Antioch and encouraging the saints. But notice that he notices something here in Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Who, when he came, speaking of Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. See, there was evidence of the grace of God in their life. Obviously, saving grace, yeah, we can evidence that. But then also evidence of the continuation of the grace of God in their lives. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read this from the King James, and I'm also going to read it from the Message Bible. I didn't tell them that on my little note card with scripture. Sorry about that, but it's all right. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able. Now notice he says, brethren, in other words, these are already Christians. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Do you see the potential power and release of power that's in the word of God to build you up and to bring that inheritance? Now, the Message Bible says this. Now, I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. See, this grace that we're talking about not only helps us to stand, it makes us into God's image, into what we need to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, look over at, back to Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 again, but let's look at another verse. Verse 17. You know, sometimes, you know, I've had young preachers tell me, well, you know, I just don't have anything to preach. Well, just read the word. Read some scriptures. It's pretty good. These are pretty good sermons in here. You know, just read the Bible like it's real and you can make a pretty good sermon out of it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to make a whole lot of comments sometimes. Just kind of point out what the Lord points out and just go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 5, verse 17. I love this verse here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Everybody say much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Notice, not reign where? In this life, right now. How we do that? By the grace of God. Reigning. I think Brother Hagin pointed out so much. I thought it was actually, but he pointed out over and over, it means to reign as kings. To reign as kings in life. Glory to God. That sounds like victory to me. Over any situation, we sit on the throne over it. It's subject. A king has people subject to it. It's subject to us. We're to reign as kings by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. You know, speaking about young preachers, you got them on both spectrums. You got those that they've got too much to say. And those that don't have enough to say. I've been there. You know. I've been there. Hallelujah. And that's all right. So, you know, you have patience with folks. Glory to God. And be long-suffering. But the shorter you suffer, the better. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I love this one. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now he's talking to Christians here and really talking about their relationship with one another. So he's not talking about ministering the grace of salvation that brings the new birth. He's talking about grace to the hearers, grace to you and I, that the word of God, speak words that are going to empower people but with the grace of God to fulfill what God's called them to do. Minister grace to them. Don't tear them down. Minister grace to them. Edifying, building them up. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians and Ephesians go together. Most of our students, they know that we call these sister epistles. There's so many verses in Colossians that are so similar to Ephesians. But they're written to the same region of the world and probably passed around amongst the different churches. Those seven churches of Asia listed in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that region of the world, common to have a letter that was circulated around. You know, Paul didn't have a printing press, you know, didn't have a recorder, had to write a handwrite, carry it, and then carried it around. So that everyone could benefit, they'd pass these around. Now here in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now he's talking here about the word of God dwelling in us. And this is very familiar, very similar to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, where it talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here he says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, this is after salvation, right? So we see grace active after salvation. See, the word of Christ dwelling in us. Now over in chapter 4, here again he talks about what we say. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All right. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Reading lots of scripture because I want to get to a point here. But these are all scriptures just to point out as we go to the place we want to end with. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to change the these and thous here if you don't mind. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now again, he's already a Christian, but he's telling him to be strong in the grace. He's already experienced saving grace. But here's grace that's helping you to be strong. Now notice where it resides, in Christ. That's why it's so important. That's why men and women over the years, God bless them, have done their best to teach us what it means to be in Christ and who we are in Christ. That's so important. I mean, over spring break in March, was down in Peru with Brother Jim, and he's teaching on what it means to be in Christ, having a pastor seminar. And every time I've been with him down there and we've done a seminar, he's preaching on what it means to be in Christ. He said, I don't care if they've heard it before, I'm going to keep teaching it. God's told me to teach what it means to be in Christ. And he's talking about the grace of God, hallelujah, and what it means to be in Christ. And another pastor, Pastor Julio, is talking about what the blood covenant's all about. Amen. So I just joined right in with him, and I talked about having faith in the love of God. We just had it's a good time. Amen. Now, whether or not, I mean, the three of us were shouting if nobody else was. We were encouraged. All right, but strong in the grace. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Familiar verse here, I think, for a lot of folks, but verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What's he call that throne? The throne of grace. And what are you going to get there? Well, you're going to obtain mercy, but what are you going to find? Grace to help now, right now, in the time of need. Amen. Now, he kind of implies, come ahead of time. Get the grace you need ahead of time. And obviously, when you have a need, How about this? Just constantly go to the throne of God. Amen. To get mercy and obtain grace to help. It's going to help us in the time of need. We don't have to wait until the time of need comes to obtain the grace. We can operate in that grace now. Amen. And then when the need arises, the grace is there. Yes. Living in it. Abiding in that grace. Hebrews 13. Again, I made this statement concerning faith, and you know, I was studying this, and I had the Lord say this to me. He said, quit trying to have events of faith and live by faith. Amen. Quit trying to have events where you have these manifested, but live by your faith. He said, that's what I said in my word, live by faith, not have events. Well, let's live by the grace of God. Let's live in that grace instead of having grace events. Can't we just live in the constant flow of God's grace? Well, sure we can. It's available to us. Here in Hebrews 13, verse 9, he says this. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Well, to me, established means to stand in, doesn't it, with you? Established in grace, not with meats which have not profited them which have occupied therein. Talking about it's not in natural things necessarily that's going to make you strong. It's standing and being established in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now, we could preach volumes of other sermons how the grace of God, by the grace of God, you're going to live right. Grace of God does not excuse my ungodly lifestyle. Amen. The grace of God empowers a godly lifestyle. Yes, it does. God said, be holy. Well, how am I going to be holy? By the grace of God. He made me holy, but I got to live holy. How am I going to do it? By the grace of God. It empowers me, see. That's sanctifying grace, but we can talk about that some other time. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's an interesting. First Peter chapter 3, and talking to husbands about how to live with their wives according to knowledge. He makes an interesting statement here. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Them there would be your wife. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Didn't say she was, just treat her, honor her as unto the weaker vessel. As being heirs together, everybody say together. Yes. See, if you take that and say, well, see, now the husband's great, you know, in a greater position, well, then you wouldn't be heirs together. Together implies we're in this together, right? Okay. Heirs together of what? The grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, here again, we're pointing out these things to see and to establish very, with a lot of evidence, that there is grace to live life. Not just to be born again, but to live life. And so I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and see something here. I think this is one of the most powerful statements in the entire Bible. Paul's answer from God, when Paul went to God concerning all the persecution, all the things that were happening to him because he was preaching the gospel, that God's answer to him is so powerful. And it talking about this idea of standing in the grace of God. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now, chapter 11, the latter part there, from verse about, what is it, about 23 on, lists the different things that happened to Paul. And he lists those things there. Then we get down here. But you know what? I think sometimes we spent so much time trying to explain what the thorn in the flesh was, we forgot what God said. We forgot the answer. We forgot the power of what's said here. All right, but let's look here in verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Exalted above measure here means to become, literally, and means to become, to be made more effective, to be highly, to be empowered, to become highly effective. See, through the abundance of revelation, who gave Paul the revelation? God. Now, wouldn't it be foolish for God to give you revelation and then beat you over the head to keep you from walking in the revelation? That doesn't make any sense, does it? So let's, you know, take our religious eraser and erase that God is the one that did this to Paul. But he gave him the revelation. Why? So that we can be effective in life and in ministry. He said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Okay? Why? See, I'm going to tell you one thing. The devil's going to make sure that you're going to have to act on what you know. All right? But that's all right. That's all right. Act on it. He can't beat you when you act on the word of God. Now, keep reading here. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, notice here, did God say no? Do you see that? Does it say that God said no, Paul? No, he said, my grace is sufficient. In other words, my grace, look, Paul, my grace is enough. Because of this, it's sufficient. It's more than enough for you. And you know how God's sufficiency is not just barely make it. It's always more than enough.
Yes, it is.
I mean, my cup isn't just filled. My cup runneth over. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I just don't triumph. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph through Christ Jesus. See, God's sufficiency, don't judge it against what we think sufficient. God's sufficiency always means it's more than enough. Anyway, he says, so my sufficiency, my strength is made perfect then, complete in weakness. Now, whose weakness? In Paul's weakness. See, Paul didn't have the power to overcome these things in and of himself, but the grace of God. Now, sometimes, you know, you look at that and you say, you think, well, Paul, I actually heard a minister say one time that, Paul, if he just understood faith like we understand it today, he wouldn't have gone through these things. I don't know if you can go there. Just be careful judging Paul. He did write most of what you believe. Okay. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Infirmities, inability to produce results. That's what an infirmity is. You have an inability. Now, it could be sickness, but here in context, he's talking about his inability to overcome. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, notice that the grace and the power go together. Therefore, he said in verse 10, I take pleasure in weaknesses. In infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How in the world, in the midst of all that happening to him, could this man say, when I'm weak, when all this is happening to me, I'm really strong? How could he do that? Because he's standing in the grace of God.
Yes.
My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. Well, God's no respecter of persons. God's grace is sufficient for you. Now, here's the thing about Paul, for instance. Jesus appeared to him and said, he told Ananias, I've shown him everything he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. But Paul told Timothy, out of them all, the Lord has delivered me.
Hallelujah.
How did that happen? By the grace of God.
Yes.
See, grace doesn't guarantee you're not going to have struggles and have people come against you and have some hard times. That doesn't guarantee, but it does guarantee you win. You see, it does guarantee that at the end of the deal, his grace is sufficient. We're strong.
Hallelujah.
In the midst of it, we come out on the other side, and again, we're standing there. We're the ones that's going to get our hand raised.
Yes.
Now, what they do with the other dude, I don't know. They might have to cart him out of the ring, but that's not my problem. You see what I'm saying? We stand. We're standing, therefore. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. I like that word stand. You know, God told God in Moses, he's saying, God, have you noticed, God, there's an army behind us and the sea in front of us. And Moses holds up his rod and says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And God says, what are you standing here for? Go. Sometimes having done all to stand means go. Amen. Having done all. So, again, here with Paul's, don't get so caught up in Paul's the thorn to realize that the grace of God was Paul's strength in the face of his inabilities. When Satan was trying to keep Paul from having an outstanding, extraordinary ministry, when he was trying to crush Paul's ministry, keep it from having the results that God intended, grace was his sufficiency. Grace was his strength. And the power of Christ rested upon Paul. God's purpose for Paul and God's purpose for you is that you be exalted above measure. That you do live an extraordinary life. How? By the grace of God. Amen. Above the circumstances, above the distress, above the persecution, by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Over all those things. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now we know God gives more grace. He says, for God gives more grace. James 4 and 1 Peter 5 both say that to the humble. Don't quit trying to fight battles in and of yourself. Yield yourself to the grace of God. God's grace will help you to stand and make you a victor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go ahead and end there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and as Pastor Bill mentioned, we're going to receive that special love offering for Mrs. Hagen's birthday at this time. So go ahead and prepare yourself. You can text to give to 28950 and put Hagen space and then whatever. And it will go to Mrs. Hagen. And none of the other Hagens will be able to get to it, all right? It's going to go to her, unless she gives it to him. But we'll know that it's for her, okay? So don't put Mrs. Hagen, just put Hagen in there. Mark on your envelope there, birthday. We'll give that to her as a great blessing. They don't ask us to do this. In fact, they've asked us not to do it. And we just tell them, in this case, we get to do it. Amen. We don't usually tell them no. This case, we do tell them no, because we want to be a blessing. They again, I'm not going to go into all that they do because it's a lot. But how do they do that? By the grace of God. Hallelujah. So let's be strong in the grace of giving tonight, and let's give out of our hearts of love. All right, let's pray over it. Father, we thank you as we give tonight, the great blessing. We thank you for Mrs. Hagen. Thank you, Father God, for her life, her ministry, her dedication, her love for you and her love for all of us. Father, as we give tonight, we ask that it be a great blessing upon her. Bless each gift and giver, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. They're going to go ahead and receive that offering. So if you would do it now, anytime between now and then, go ahead. If you're not ready tonight, not able to do it, go ahead between now and then and be a blessing. And you can give towards that. Hallelujah. I know. You know, sometimes it seems like, well, we're giving in this, we're giving in that, we're giving it. Why? Well, God has given us so much. And let's just, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever catch yourself getting upset because there's so many opportunities to give, you better grab a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your ear and say, oh, wait a minute here. I take authority over you, you stingy thought. You stingy, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily a spirit, but might be, you selfish thing, you. Now, the devil knows with me. He starts messing with me, I'll empty the whole thing. We'll just start with nothing and go again. All right? So he doesn't really mess with me so much on that anymore because I've stabbed him too many times with the sword of the Spirit and with my actions of obeying the Word of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when someone comes to God for salvation, or you come to God with something, he said, I have given out so much today, I'm not giving anymore. I've just given enough healing power today, there's no more. I'm tired of this. I don't know why these people always want me to give. Always asking me to give. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Amen. We don't have anything to give, but he already gave us anyway. Isn't that right? If our prayer teams will go ahead and come right now. Connection team, you go ahead and also get in the aisles as the offering gets finished up here. Connection team, take our first-time guests. Let's give a big hand clap to our first-time guests again that are here tonight. thank you so much for being here. Come back. We'll be here Sunday morning. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen will be here and hear the good word of God. I believe, is Pastor still doing his series on the spirit of faith? Boy, it's been so good. You know, you say, I hope, even if he's not, I hope he's got something else on it. You know, let's go. It's been really good. Praise the Lord. All right, let's all stand together. We need to mention anything. Hey, please go out and sign up and help Saturday at the Teachers Appreciation on Saturday. It's 3 hours, 4:30 to 7:30. Come on out and be a blessing there. If you need prayer for anything tonight whatsoever, come on up here, ladies, the ladies, men to the men. All right, they'll pray with you according to the word of God. Listen, if you don't know Jesus tonight, don't leave here without. Come on down and talk to one of them, okay? Don't leave here tonight without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All right, God bless you. May the grace of God be upon you. Amen.